Hello and welcome to Trail Mix by Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast. I'm Mike.
And I'm Dusty. If you're joining us for the first time, Trail Mix is the short format episodes of our show, while our long format episodes explore one hiking trail in one national park, one park at a time. Trail Mix allows us to dive deeper into the things we didn't get to cover in our long format episodes, including interviews, history, science, and environmental justice.
But Trail Mix also allows us an opportunity to chat about traveling and talk about things we are excited about when it comes to hiking, camping, and being outdoors. Today's Trail Mix is all about the very special wildlife found in White Sands National Park.
Okay, so let's talk about desert wildlife for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about some of the desert wildlife we have seen.
So we've seen chuckwalla.
We did see chuckwalla, which is a type of
lizard.
It's a lizard. Yep. It's a little bit bigger than a garden lizard or mm-hmm. a green lizard you might see in mm-hmm. the woods.
We've seen Northeast. A rattlesnake.
We have. We've actually
crossed
seen
over
a rattlesnake
a
few times. Well, there was the one that was crossing the dirt road that we yeah. were on in Saguaro, mm-hmm. just sunning itself and, mm-hmm. Crossing the street. And so mm-hmm. there was that one, and we had two on the trail, right?
Just one.
Oh, one on the trail. Mm-hmm. We saw
Gila, we'll get to that later.
A Gila monster.
We did see a Gila monster.
Incredibly poisonous.
Yeah.
But they're very chill on the yeah. trail, too. They don't move very fast, at least typically, So
We saw mule deer. We've seen mule deer, which is not exclusively a desert animal, but...
Yeah, we saw oodad sheep or mm-hmm. owdad sheep yep. in Big Bend National Park. Mm-hmm. What about javelina?
No.
I saw some javelina a few weeks ago when I was in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Briefly, but I saw them mm-hmm. and they were pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
They look like warthogs, but they're technically rodents.
Mm, interesting.
Yes. So yes, I love desert wildlife mm-hmm. because it is unlike any wildlife found in any other location.
Yeah.
And it's very special.
Yeah. White Sands National Park is located on the top end of the Chihuahuan Desert on the land also known as New Mexico. To understand the wildlife in this area, it's important to understand a little bit about their history, as this is not your average pile of sand dunes. It is in fact the world's largest gypsum dune field. And as many great people who have come before us have said, we exist within the context of all those who came before us. And this also applies to geology. And the national parks, in their role as America's storyteller, it is part of their mission and purpose to help us, the visitors, to understand and continue to understand the reality of that context, good or bad. This is why its role is necessary and must continue to be protected without political censorship.
Around 250 million years ago, it was Pangaea. Most of the Earth's land was together in one piece, and the area currently called the southwestern United States, including the area also known as New Mexico, was covered by a very shallow sea called the Permian Sea. During this time, the sea levels would naturally rise and fall, and this led to thick layers of gypsum being deposited onto the seafloor.
Okay, so what is gypsum? Gypsum is a mineral. Its chemical formula is CaSO42H2O, also known as calcium sulfate dihydrate. So it is made up of calcium, sulfur, oxygen, and hydrogen, and contains two water molecules. Now, what makes gypsum particularly special is that, like salt, it dissolves in water. If you've been to any beach, you will notice how the sand on the beach does not dissolve in water. But if you've ever mixed salt into water, you know that it disappears. This is what gypsum does. However, when that water evaporates, just like the salt, the gypsum is left behind and it recrystallizes. Kind of like if a drag queen were to get raptured, how all her jewels and stones and sequins would be left behind. This is White Sands National Park. It is entirely gypsum sand.
Now, let's cut to 70 million years ago. At this time, the tectonic plates collided and created some mountain ranges from this area of land that had been covered in this shallow sea. A shallow sea also covered in gypsum, thus creating mountains containing loads of gypsum. But then about 40 million years later, something dramatic occurred. The mountain range began to pull apart. This created two mountain ranges, the Sacramento Mountains and the San Andreas Mountains, both covered in gypsum. And in the middle was a basin known as Tularosa Basin.
Around 2 million years ago, the Rio Grande began to dump deposits along the south end of the basin. This created Lake Otero, a lake that no longer exists. But in the last ice age, around 30,000 years ago or so, snow and rain began to bring dissolved gypsum from the mountains to the basin, and it settled in Lake Otero. Then, at the end of this ice age, 12,000 years ago, Lake Otero began to evaporate, leaving behind a dry lake bed, also known as a playa, covered in selenite, which is the name for crystallized forms of gypsum. Therefore, the White Sands Dunes that are here in White Sands National Park are not beach sand that we tend to be familiar with. It is incredibly soft, crystallized gypsum sand, which is different in color, texture, and chemical makeup.
The dry lake bed portion of this area is known now as Alkali Flat, which has a hiking trail loop, which we cover in episode 154, the Alkali Flat Trail. There is still an area here with water that was originally part of Lake Otero, but this small area is now known as Lake Lucero, which still exists at White Sands National Park. It is located in the restricted area, but nonetheless, it is still there. The same process with Lake Otero exists for Lake Lucero. Rain and wind bring dissolved gypsum down from the mountains contained in the water. It pools in Lake Lucero. Then, as the water evaporates, the wind takes the gypsum crystals and redistributes them into the dunes. The speed of the wind also acts as a natural polisher, which gives the gypsum its bright white color. Okay, so we got to feel gypsum sand,
mm-hmm.
and describe what it was like to pick up and feel gypsum.
It's very soft. It feels powdery, and it doesn't feel like sand at all. Like, it feels like it could be flour almost with a little grit in it. That's the best way I can describe it.
Yeah. Because, like, even comparing it to, say, like table sugar feels heavier than...
And it also feels like sand.
Yeah.
This, it has more grit to it.
This is definitely softer. I mean, you can walk on it. There's a ton of it there.
Oh, yeah.
But it's extremely special.
It's the main attraction, everybody.
It is.
Now let's get into the wildlife found here in White Sands National Park. We're excited about the animals here in White Sands, which are animals you can't see in almost any other part of the world. But first, for our plant friends, let's chat plants. The Chihuahuan Desert is already a tough environment. The climate of White Sands Dunes is even harsher. To be a plant in this area, you would have to be able to withstand the temperatures of the Chihuahuan Desert, move with the shifting landscape, and find a water source, which is difficult in the literal sea of gypsum sand that retains zero water.
Some plants employ what is called the hold-on method. This involves stretching their roots all the way to the groundwater below the gypsum sand. When they do this, they pull water up toward the surface of the dune. This water gets absorbed into the surrounding gypsum sand, creating a solid mound, also known as a pedestal. This helps keep the plant firmly in one place. As Jeff Goldblum told us in Jurassic Park, "You did it, you crazy son of a bitch, you did it."
I think what you meant to say is that life finds a way.
Yeah, that too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Or you can sustain. Let your roots reach down for the rain.
There it is. Mm-hmm. There it is. There. You got no one to blame for your unsteadiness.
No, baby, you got yourself into this gypsum mess. Ooh. Some examples of plants that literally hold on for their lives in the White Sands are skunkbush sumac and hoary rosemary mint, spelled H-O-A-R-Y. Some other plants seen here include little blue stem grass, Indian rice grass, alkali saccaton, yuccas, and Rio Grande cottonwoods.
Now, let's get to the animals. Okay, so it needs to be mentioned that animals in the White Sands had to evolve in order to survive this very specific climate. And since the White Sands have only really existed for about 10,000 years, which is pretty young when it comes to evolution, the evolution that has already occurred in many of these animals can be said to have happened astonishingly quickly. Generally speaking, the park is home to over 800 animal species, including birds, fish, mammals, reptiles, and more. And Mike, of those 800 species, how many did we see?
All of them. No, I can't believe there's actually 800.
I know. Can you believe that?
None of them.
None of them.
None.
The majority of desert animals are nocturnal.
Yes.
Right. So if you are out there at night and can't see anything, they're all out. Just so you know. And I hope that haunts your dreams.
Are you sure it wasn't my hysterical screams into the void that scared them away?
That's it. Mm-hmm. They heard them and they were terrified. But screams into the void aside, almost all of the animals found here and in most deserts, as I said, are nocturnal. So unless you go out at night and look about with your night vision goggles, you will likely not see them when you visit White Sands. But this is a great moment for the visitor center. Now, some visitor centers sometimes have taxidermied versions of animals found in the park looking at you, Guadalupe Mountains, Big mm-hmm. Bend, right?
Yep.
But White Sands does not. However, they do have some pelts, and the pelts they bring out and they share some of those pelts from some of the predators in the park, and they'll share them during ranger talks and educational experiences. But they have lots of interpretive information about this wildlife here and animals found here in White Sands at the visitor center that is definitely worth checking out.
Many of the animal species here in White Sands have been here for over 7,000 years. And long ago during that time, and during the time that Lake Otero was evaporating, the landscape was much darker. This meant that the animals were darker in color during this time period. Since the evolution of the dunes into the white color they are now, these species also evolved and in many cases now appear much lighter in the dunes than their counterpart members of the species who existed in other areas of the Chihuahua Desert.
Hey y'all, it's Dusty and Mike with exciting news.
That's right, it's our episode finder. It's all about making finding our episodes even easier.
Want to find more episodes about hikes in Shenandoah? With over 10 episodes across two separate seasons, it would have involved a lot of scrolling and searching.
Now, with our episode finder, you can find all those episodes with a few easy clicks. That way, finding an episode on Yosemite from season 1 is just as easy as finding an episode on Zion, Yellowstone, and Haleakala, all in separate seasons.
With over 275 episodes in 35 different national parks, our episode finder will add ease when finding out more about hikes in these spaces.
But it's not just about hikes by national park. We've categorized our entire library so you can find hikes by state, hikes by terrain, and hikes by difficulty.
And all of our Trail Mix episodes are there too, so you can easily find our science-based episodes, interviews, and more.
Planning a trip to Colorado and want to hear more about our adventures there? Want to grunt it out on some really tricky trails or learn more about glaciers, grasslands, and mountains?
Just click the link in our show notes or on our Instagram bio, and it pops right up. You can also head directly to our website and look for the episode finder at the top of the navigation bar.
Conquer one hike in one national park, one park at a time, with just a few clicks with our episode finder. Happy trails!
So let's start with a moth. Among the 40 endemic species to White Sands, Protogygia whitesandsensis moth can be found in the White Sands National Park. This moth does not live in and is not found in any other part of the earth. It is also worth noting that there are more endemic moths in White Sands than any other location in North America.
Wow.
These moths are about an inch and a half across, feature dark colors, and fly only in the winter. And according to science reported by the National Park Service, these moths are not evolving because of the color of the dunes. Instead, they think it is the properties within the gypsum soil. Moths feed on the plants in the dunes. The plants root in the gypsum as soil and absorb some of the materials in the gypsum. These likely go hand in hand in the evolution of these moths.
Next up is the sand treader camel cricket. This is an insect that is only found in White Sands and has adapted to live in the gypsum sand dunes. During the day, it stays cool by burrowing in the sand, but at night, it emerges to scavenge for dead plant material. One of the movement patterns they are known for is how they use their legs similarly to dogs when it comes to digging. They will use their front legs to dig in the ground or sand, and their back legs to push away the dirt or sand. They have to keep a lookout to not be hunted by scorpions.
Then there is the sand wolf spider. This spider can be found in many places. It doesn't build webs. Instead, they hunt by camouflaging themselves on the dunes and wait for small invertebrates to pass by. Sand wolf spiders tend to take on the color of their surroundings, and the ones found in white sands are much lighter and whiter than their fellow sand wolf spiders that live in sand dunes in other parts of the world. Yes, they bite and are mildly venomous, but they are harmless to humans.
The next animal is a reptile that you might actually be able to spot at White Sands, the bleached earless lizard. While only being bleached and earless in appearance, is known for the black spots on each side of their bodies. They can hear, though they appear not to have ear holes, and their light, almost white coloring is an adaptation to live and survive in the dunes of white gypsum sand, and it is very easy for them to live in 100 degree heat. They can be seen running about in the early morning, also sometimes mid-afternoon, and before sunset.
The fence lizard is also found here. They are a white lizard with black stripes and a bright blue belly. Those who study them say that the males will sometimes do small push-ups to attract females and show off their bellies.
And now, bats! Well, one bat. The pallid bat. This is a small 4-inch bat that actually roosts at the visitor center, so it may be possible to see them when you visit. How many did we see, Dusty?
None. We saw none.
Correct
none.
Again.
Zero.
None. But you might. They will fly low to the ground and look for insects to bring back to their roosting spot. They're about 4 inches long with a wingspan of about 15 inches, so not the smallest bat out there, but it does have pretty big ears. The other thing about pallid bats is that roosts that are made in buildings can be very smelly. The bat droppings can be incredibly odorous and also stain walls, so the NPS has built them bat boxes. This gives them the space they need to roost without encroaching upon the visitor center space.
And now it is time for arguably the cutest of all the animals in White Sands, and that is the Apache pocket mouse. Now, these are small mice that are white in color and are known for their cheek pockets. On the sides of their face, they have fur-lined cheek pockets in the outsides of their mouth where they will store seeds that they forage in the sand dunes. They are known for a very specific trait, which is that they can virtually live their entire lives without drinking water. They get water from the pieces of tall grass that they forage and store in their cheeks. And they are almost only ever seen at night. But if you can imagine it, right? Like, imagine how
Picture you take
food and you like put it and store it on the side of your cheek. But instead, it's
like... Is that
like
something you do?
You have... No, I'm saying like an animal does that, or if you were to do that. But instead, it's like you have
an extra
like
pocket.
A pocket cheek on the outside of your cheek that has an entrance that like the seam of the pocket, or not the seam, the opening of the pocket is down by your
jawbone. Interesting.
And it shoves that into its cheek and it expands. So it's literally like a pocket that you would just think it had really full cheeks or it had stuff stuffed into its cheeks.
And it, or it's
and
in the mouth,
it does, but it's literally like a pocket on the outside of the cheek and it's fur lined. Like it's not an inner mouth pocket. It's an outer face pocket.
And finally, there's the Kit Fox, the most notable predator in White Sands. You'll even see the character Katie the Kit Fox on the interpretive signage for the Dune Life Nature Trail. The Kit Fox weighs about 5 pounds. It is the largest animal in the dune field, and it is also known as America's smallest wild canine. They are tan and gray with a black tipped tail. They are extremely nocturnal and almost never are seen by humans. They feed on rodents and sometimes birds in the desert. And they can usually survive without drinking water and can remain hydrated from the blood of their prey. Gosh, dark girls.
I know, right?
That was like you. Mm-hmm, I do. They live in burrows underground and will often take over badger burrows. They also often make burrows in pedestals, which are created by the vegetation of the white sand dunes.
Other animals found in White Sands include the porcupine, the pocket gopher, Merriam's kangaroo rat, the desert cottontail, the coyote, the bobcat, the black-tailed jackrabbit, and the American badger. So, the wildlife in White Sands.
Yeah, I guess unless you're a scientist, you may never see it.
You may never
Or you just have to be awake at weird hours.
Yes, and, like, and have night vision things, which you would not be allowed in the park necessarily at that time.
Well, there's a camp. There's spots to camp.
Well, there's spots to camp. Yeah. That's true. So you might see them then. If you, again, have maybe night vision binoculars or some kind of way to see them that way. But it's kind of lovely that they get the park to themselves at for a certain period of time during the day, that so they can avoid all this human nonsense.
The sources for today's Trail Mix include
the article How Animals Adapt at White Sands by Elizabeth Miller, published on NewMexicoMagazine.org,
the U.S. military,
and the National Park Service.
And now let's end this episode like we end all of our episodes, with some Jeopardy style trivia.
All right, Mike, are you ready for this game?
I guess I am.
Yes. So I have created some dating profiles.
Oh.
For the animals of White Sands.
And this is how you tell me it's over.
That's right. And all you have to do is guess the animal whose dating profile it is.
Great.
So I hope you were listening when it came to these animals.
Who are like, there'll be a test on the material later. You'd be the worst.
Okay, are we ready for 100?
Uh-huh.
Are you hungry? Because I sure can work up an appetite so much that I like to save my food for later. You want to find some snacks with me? If you're nice, maybe I'll store some extra in my cheeks just for you.
That little pocket mouse. I don't yes. know its name.
It is the Apache pocket mouse.
Okay.
Correct. Yeah. Well, you were meant to have been listening.
Oh, great. I'm trying to read and actually like deliver my lines.
So here we go.
I'm supposed to be remembering things, apparently.
For 200. I'm looking for someone who likes to go out late at night and then get cozy and cuddle with me near my garden while we curl up with my favorite book, Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Who's the Kit Fox?
That's correct, because the Kit Fox
drinks blood.
Most of its water from the blood of its victims, right? For 300.
God, that'd be such a badass thing to say.
I know, right?
Okay. I don't drink water. I get it from my victim's blood.
That's it. For 300, you like the gym? You like your men with bright blue stomachs? Well, why don't you come around and check out my belly while I do some push-ups?
It's that little push-up lizard.
It is the fence lizard.
Fence lizard.
Mm-hmm, that's right. Okay, for 400, you've gotten one out of them. You've got one out of three so far.
Mm-hmm. I believe I remembered the animal type, and at one point I also said pocket cheek. I think that's a pretty good remembering.
The little pocket mouse.
The little pocket cheek mouse is what I said.
We can roll the clip. You said the little pocket mouse.
I didn't. Okay. I said pocket cheek.
For the record, we just rolled the clip and you said
I stand corrected.
Mouse. Yes. Okay, great. So for 400, while I'm no dog, I could certainly be your pet. Have you seen the way I use my legs? My front legs dig and my back legs clear dirt away, and I'm ready to play fetch.
Is that little grasshopper cricket?
It is a cricket, yes. Yeah. There's nothing grasshopper about it. But yes, it is a cricket. It is the sand treader camel cricket.
Mm-hmm.
So there we go. Okay, great. And finally, for 500, I'm looking for someone with questionable bathroom practices. I'm happy to leave my business everywhere. I want a partner who does the same. But don't worry. I have my own house that was built special just for me.
It's that tiny little poop bat.
The pallid bat. Uh-huh. Correct. It is the pallid bat.
Looking for more episodes like the one you just heard? Then be sure to check out our episode finder for episodes by park, state, hiking difficulty, and terrain, as well as all of our Trail Mix episodes in one helpful place. Click the link in the show notes of this episode, our Instagram bio, or visit our website to make your listening experience even easier.
This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created, produced, edited, and hosted by us,
Dustin. Justin Ballard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at gazeatthenationalparks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. That's gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram and on our website is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariella Klinger, with Sean Sklios on guitar. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang.
We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode, that we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as New Jersey.